God is good. I always like to start by sharing some testimonies. In the book of Revelation, it says the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy. So when we hear testimonies of the goodness of God, it should cause us to say, then there's no reason that won't happen when I pray. Every testimony is an invitation for an impartation. We know who we are as God's child. He's backing us up. He's not holding out on us. Amen? So it's been fun. I've been here in Minnesota since Thanksgiving, and it's been amazing. God's been doing so much. Literally hundreds of miracles have happened here in Minnesota. Groups like this. He likes to do it. Not when I prayed. When people like you prayed for each other. Because Jesus wants to do it through everyone. In Ephesians chapter 4, it says he gave some to be apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers. But it says for a specific purpose. For the equipping of the saints to do works of service. So we're going to have a equipping meeting here tonight. So it's been fun. So last night in Little Falls, in a church, everybody was praying for each other. There was a woman in the service. I would guess she'd probably be in her 50s. She had broken her collarbone when she was 18. It had never healed up right. The bone was like that. And as a result, it caused her all sorts of pain, all sorts of issues. It always would make crunching noises and so on and so forth. Well, when someone like you in the service prayed for her, she no longer could find the pain. She no longer could find the crunching noises. She no longer could find any problem at all of what had been there for decades. Come on, Jesus. One of a whole bunch of healings that happened. In Elk River, in the service there was a woman that came there who was 55 years old. She said since she was 22, she had had back problems, 33 years. She had two tumors in her back that she figures were quite large because she had had a surgery to remove the one off of her neck, and it was, I think, like baseball-sized. And so these two tumors in her back were pushing on her nerves, causing her pain, going all the way down into her leg. It had been this way for quite a while. In the service, when people prayed for each other, somebody like you prayed for her and prayed for the tumors to dissolve. Now, she couldn't check to see. She had to do some kind of scan, but they prayed for the tumors to dissolve. Immediately, all of the nervous system issue that she had and all the pain that the tumors were causing immediately disappeared. So it's probably a decent sign that Jesus did something with the tumors as well. Come on, Jesus. It's just really been fun to see him at work. You know, Jesus wants to heal people inside of church. He wants to heal people also wherever you go. I was out in western Minnesota, and I really enjoy playing Ultimate Frisbee. And so I was playing Ultimate Frisbee with a group of guys. Now, this isn't how I normally think, okay? Let's just put it like that, okay? I'm playing Ultimate Frisbee. I spend most of my life probably not in America. A lot of times in third world nations and all sorts of random places on planet Earth. And there was a guy that I was playing Ultimate Frisbee with who looked like he was Ethiopian. And I had just been in Ethiopia in November. And so I went over, started talking to him. And he was actually Somali. His name was Muhammad. And I just really hit it off with this guy. I mean, just really nice guy, really good at Ultimate Frisbee. And we're playing and everything, and he had subbed out, and I needed a water break. So I'm walking over there in the gymnasium that we're playing in and go to grab water, and this thought pops in my head. And like I said, I don't normally think like this. But the thought was, man, if that guy got hurt, the easiest way to see Muslims see that Jesus is real is through power. God, I don't want to, like, put him on the spot, you know, because he's a foreigner and, like, in front of everybody and pray for him. But, you know, like, if it was just him and me, God, that I'd go for it. That'd be a sweet opportunity. Like I said, I do think, like, pray for people outside of church. I don't think I want this person to get hurt so I can pray for them outside of church, all right? To clarify, as that pops in my head, I look over to where he had subbed out at, and he's icing his ankle. I'm like, you've got to be kidding me, Jesus. This is going to happen. So now I just knew, I mean, there's no way this isn't going to happen. That doesn't happen, and he doesn't get healed, you know? So I finish up playing Ultimate Frisbee there, and we get done, and, you know, we're all shaking each other's hands and whatnot. And he had left right away, and I was like, no, there's no way he's not coming back. That doesn't happen with him just leaving and me not getting a chance to pray for him. So, I'm sitting there, I was wearing shorts, you know, in the gymnasium, putting my jeans on over top of my shorts, and as I do that, Muhammad comes back in. And so, I'm like, hey, man, you know, how's your ankle doing? He goes, well, I mean, it's still hurting, but, you know, some ice and ibuprofen in a few days and should be okay. And then he turns around and starts walking off. And I'm like, ah, quit throwing on my shoes. And I'm like, I don't even care if I catch a cold, whatever. I'm only wearing a t-shirt that I was playing Ultimate Frisbee and that's all sweaty, right? And I'm gonna catch that guy. And so he's walking up the stairs talking to another guy. And we get to the point where those two guys get outside. Now I'm just a couple of steps behind them. And the one guy goes off to the right and Muhammad goes straight. How about that? There's my opportunity. Thank you, Jesus. So I said, hey, this might seem kind of weird to you, but like I was just praying for some people over in the dorms here at the school, and people were getting healed. Like, can I pray for your ankle? He's like, well, absolutely, of course. And I was like, okay, can I put my hand on your ankle when I pray? Yeah, go right ahead. So right there, out front of the gymnasium at the college, I put my hand on his ankle, invited the Holy Spirit to touch him. In Jesus' name, I commanded all the pain and the issue to get out. I go, all right, now, be completely honest. How are you doing? He says, it feels better. I said, well, of course it feels better. It's Jesus. That's what he does. And I just said, you know, I was sharing here on campus at the InterVarsity. Do you know the InterVarsity? And he's like, I think I've heard of it. I was like, yeah, well, that guy was playing Ultimate Frisbee. He goes there. They just saw a whole bunch of miracles happen yesterday when I was sharing, and they prayed for each other. You know, you should check it out. And he's like, yeah, definitely. And I was like, all right. And because it was cold, dark, and whatever, you know, like we kind of moseyed off to our cars. But as he got out to his car, he looked back at me, and he said, Paul, it really is better. And I said, of course it really is better. It's Jesus. That's what he does. Jesus wants to touch people wherever we go. Amen? I was on a treasure hunt. You guys know what a treasure hunt is? With a guy over, I brought a few books here. One of them is this one, talking about how to do it, from a mentor of mine. But I was doing a treasure hunt with a buddy over at Mall of America, just looking for people to see Jesus touch with his goodness. And in like an hour and a half, there was like 8 healings and 15 salvations. You know, like Jesus wants to touch people. It's just really simple. So I had written down purple hair. And so I see this girl walking by that's got purple hair. And my buddy, his name's Rick, we go over to the girl and I was like, hey, this, you know, might seem kind of random. I'm on a treasure hunt and I think you're the treasure because I got purple hair here and got Mall of America written down. And you got any of the rest of the stuff? And she's like, oh, yeah, I got migraines and I got back issues, upper back, like by my shoulders. And I was like, oh, well, that's easy for Jesus to heal. Can I pray for you? And she's like, okay. Prayed a short prayer and now she's freaking out that her migraine's gone and her upper back's doing a whole lot better than it was. And all of a sudden, one of the ways God gives words of knowledge is like just the body part jumps out at you. And I'm looking at her. Maybe you've had before. You're walking down the street. Not this person, not that person, but this person. God wants you to talk to this person. They jump out at you. Does anybody know what I'm talking about? Okay, it's like that, except with just the body part. That's a way that God can give a word of knowledge. So her right here is jumping out at me. So I'm like, you eat something with your stomach? You get like acid reflux or something? And she's like, yeah, I have acid reflux. I said, oh, okay. Well, that's easy for Jesus to heal too. Can we pray for that? Yeah, go right ahead. So I prayed a second time for the shoulders, upper back, and stomach, and of course she receives the word as her Savior right there on the spot right afterwards. Jesus wants to do this stuff. Amen? He's just looking for people to give him a chance. To step outside of their comfort zone because they care more about other people getting touched than if we look like fools. Amen? Compassion will compel us to do things that just simply wanting to see a miracle never will. Because perfect love is what casts out fear. Amen? When we encounter his goodness, it can't help but cause us to want to say, something's got to get touched by his goodness. It's got to get touched by his power. Amen? I know I'm preaching the choir at the house. It's not too difficult to convince you guys of the importance of miracles. I enjoy that. So God's been doing all sorts of fun things. I was in Rochester doing some ministry. This was kind of fun. Well, a bunch of miracles, of course. But then in the service, okay, so I go to Philippines all the time. I bring teams to Philippines and whatnot. And my friends in Philippines get gemstones all of the time. And so I get them, like, laying hands on me. All right, come on. Do you guys know what I'm talking about, like, getting gemstones, like, supernaturally? Okay, if you don't, it's all right. Watch Finger of God. How's that? But my friends, they get, I mean, like, they're literally, you know, some of them are just extremely dirt poor, and they have, like, these, look like just perfect diamonds, and, oh, yeah, Jesus gave it to me. I was just worshiping, and there it was. And I'm like, all right, lay hands on me. I need it. Come on. And so after only having them lay hands on me, you know, 50 times in the last few years, I'm sitting there at the church in Rochester, and during worship, God's doing something in my heart, and I look, and right there in front of me, I, like, pick it up, and I'm like, so tiny, this little purple one. I put it on Facebook. Maybe some of you are friends with me on Facebook, and you saw the picture. And I'm like, is that a gemstone or not? And my friend, Rod Marquette, it's his church there. I said, well, Rod, what do you think? He's like, I don't know, but more, Lord. And I was like, good, I'll take more. So I set it down on my Bible, and I'm going back and worshiping, and all of a sudden, like, it falls off of my Bible. And so the rest of the time during worship, I'm like, I finally got what I think is a gemstone, and I don't want this to disappear. So I'm, like, sitting here, like, combing the ground right there, and they're probably like, what is wrong with the guest speaker? But I had finally gotten the gemstone. I wasn't about ready to see it go, right? Oh, so God heals a bunch of people. There was a woman in the service that had, she'd fallen in a well. Her lawnmower had fallen on top of her. This was last summer, and you can guess it caused her all sorts of issues. She had migraine headaches. She had nervous system problems. She had pain coming all across here. She had an issue with her eye, where if she looked off to the left, her eye would flutter uncontrollably. That all got healed when someone like you prayed for her in the service. And we get done with that all, and then we run over to the federal medical penitentiary to go and do ministry there. So God heals a bunch of people there. There was a guy in that service. He was... people were praying for each other for, like, ringing in their ears and hearing loss. And so this guy had ringing in his ears that was causing the hearing loss that he had. And so they pray for him. But so I get everybody praying for each other, and they were, like, really close to me. And so I can actually hear their conversation. He's like, oh, yeah, you know, I don't even have an eardrum in this ear, and so that one's deaf, and this one is ringing in my ear and so forth. And so they pray for the ringing. The ringing goes down, which causes his hearing to go up, but they never even prayed about there not being an eardrum there, you know? And so I'm like, just a second. This is actually when I actually did get to pray for it of all these testimonies I'm sharing. I'm like, can I pray for you? And he's like, yeah. I go, well, can I pray for your ear? You know, they didn't pray for the problem, right? And he's like, no, they didn't. And I was like, okay. But he goes, but I don't have an eardrum. I said, well, if Jesus can heal you, like, does it matter if you have an eardrum? You know, like, it. Either one is just as impossible for me and just as easy for Jesus. So he's like, yeah, go right ahead. So I put my hand on his ear and command his ear to open up in Jesus' name and an eardrum to be created. And I go, how are you doing? Now, I won't tell you that he was hearing perfectly because he wasn't. But he was hearing some out of his ear that had no eardrum. Unless Jesus created it right there. So we get done with all that. And then Rod and I go back to the church there, and I'm like, before we go, will you help me look for that gemstone? I gotta look. And so we're sitting there on our hands and knees combing the carpeting, and he finds it, and then we look under the magnifying glass, and sure enough, there it was. So that was fun. And so we put a picture of it on Facebook and stuff. And so that was the first one. The second one happened in Elk River. A woman who was sitting somewhere right over there, she finds one. That was fun. So if you find a gemstone here tonight, it is finders keepers, but I at least want to see it, all right? So God's good. And then in Germany, there was, just recently as well, some fun creative miracles. There was a boy who came to the service who actually the bones did not grow properly in his knees. And as a result, he could take his fingers and put them all the way underneath his kneecaps. So you can guess that caused some problems for him. Well, when people like you prayed for him in the service, he no longer had the issue. Thank you, Jesus. He could no longer put his fingers under his kneecap or anything. The bones had grown in, which reminded me of a fun testimony from Bloomington here in Minnesota, where there was a woman who came to the service that is actually missing a kneecap. She had 3 screws in her knee and no kneecap there whatsoever. Well, I actually went over and interviewed the guy who prayed for her. It was one of the people who was leading worship. And I was like, so you felt it beforehand, right? He's like, he goes, I felt it. I still don't believe it, but I felt it both times. I said, okay, so what happened? You know, and she's, of course, sharing how she had had the Madeline there. And, you know, Jesus literally created a kneecap for her right there on the spot. Come on, Jesus. You know, he spoke and he created this world, and it wasn't difficult for him. It's not very difficult for him to create different things as well that we need. So it's been fun. There's been a lot of metal healings here in Minnesota. There's been a woman who had some metal in her finger, and that disappeared. There was a guy in Big Fork. Do you guys know where the great big city of Big Fork, Minnesota is? Population 650. On the edge of the Wilderness Road, if you go about 40 miles north of Grand Rapids. Anyway, yeah, there's a guy in the meeting there. He had a plate and five screws in his ankle. He can't find that anymore. And a woman in Plymouth last August, she had a bunch of metal in her knee. She just went to the airport, wrote on my Facebook wall, yeah, no issue. Never set off any kind of a metal detector going through there anymore. Thank you, Jesus. And on and on and on and on. So God is doing good things. I mean, I could share testimonies from other places, but every now and again, I get somebody who tells me, Paul, you are so blessed that you get to go to India and Africa and these places where miracles are happening so much. And I look at them, and I almost don't know what to say. I'm like, do you really think God's racist? Like, does he look at somebody and say, oh, you're of African descent, therefore I love you and I want you healed, but you're not of African descent, therefore I want you to be in pain for a while? Like, obviously Jesus loves the Africans, but obviously Jesus loves the North Americans too. Amen? So God is good. Let me tell you a little about myself. I know some of you have seen me before, but many of you have not seen me before. I am Paul. I'm 34 years old. When I was 20, I was diagnosed with cancer. And getting diagnosed with cancer wasn't enough to really humble me before God. It was getting worse when I thought I should be getting better. And all of a sudden, I realized I might be seeing God very quickly. And I knew I had a lot of issues going on in my life, and I did not want to see God with all of my issues going on in my life. And so I remember telling God, God, I don't know how long I have to live, whether I'm going to live for one more day or 100 more years, but God, I don't want to waste my life. I want to live for you. Because I had realized by looking at my life just how empty it had been, because I'd spent most of it living for myself. Not all of it, but most. And so by going through cancer, I went through cancer for more than 3 years. I've been cancer-free for almost 11 years. But going through that for that long of a period of time gave me a very, very big passion for this topic of healing and miracles. And so even with cancer in my body, I was praying for the sick all the time for a few years straight. And guess how many were healed? Zero. Not one. I just shared how there's been like a few hundred in the last month in Minnesota. Didn't start that way. Share that to encourage you. Because it doesn't matter what your past experience has been, it doesn't have to stay your current experience. God does not want us to reduce him to what we think our spiritual gifts currently are. He doesn't want me to say, oh, I'm the prophetic guy, but oh, you need healing? You should go talk to that guy. That's the guy that you want to go see. He wants to work through all of us, to do all of this stuff. It's all legal to believe God for if it's in here, amen? So, anyway, 3 years straight, no miracles happened. And I said, God, I told him, God, I quit. I have read my Bible more. I have prayed more. I've confessed everything that I know I've done wrong, and I've confessed things that I'm not sure whether or not they're wrong, but I confessed them anyways, hoping it would work and somebody would get healed. It hasn't worked. Nobody's healed. The good Christian checklist formula has failed me. So God, I can't do it. Which I think he was really happy that I finally realized that. God doesn't want us to think that what he can do through us is the same as us. Amen? He still is into getting all the glory. So, right about that time, I was reading in my Bible, Acts chapter 3. Peter and John, they pray for the crippled man at the temple gate, and he's walking and leaping and praising God. And a crowd gathers. And Peter and John's response to the crowd in Acts 3, verse 12, was, and this is the Paul Rapp, we paraphrase version, "Men of Israel, why do you look at us as if it's by our own holiness or our own power that it caused us to happen?" Sorry, I'm probably not getting every word just perfectly right. And they go on and share how it was about the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob who did it. And I looked at that passage, and I thought, you've got to be kidding me. I have been working very, 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 very hard in order to try to become holy enough in order to see a miracle happen, and I've failed completely. And these guys who are actually seeing the crippled guy get healed say, why do you look at us as if it's by our own holiness or our own power? You see the difference, right? And so I said, God, I can't do it. Besides, according to these guys, it isn't about me anyway. It's about you. So God, if you want to start healing people, you go right ahead, but I can't make it happen. Right after that, someone came to me. They said, Paul, pray for me. I prayed for them. They said, Paul, I'm healed. I said, no, you're not. Test your body again, and I am sure you will discover you are still sick. Yes, very full of faith, wasn't I? And they said, Paul, I really am healed. And I thought to myself, wow, if God can do one, he can do thousands. Amen? So miracles were happening at a rate of like two or three a week. I was working at a place called Teen Challenge here in Minnesota and just desperate to see more people get touched. And eventually found my way out in Reading, and then things kind of took off even more. And so God is good. And so I just want to give just some basic teaching about healing. And really, primarily, I want to focus on activation time, because I think there's probably a lot of people in here that want to see miracles happen, and there's probably a lot of people in here that need a miracle in their own body. So, in John chapter 4, it says that we worship God in spirit and in truth. And I think those two things are what's needed for healing. We need the presence of the Holy Spirit, because who's the healer? Holy Spirit. So it's going to work a lot better to be filled with the Holy Spirit. But God also responds to what I believe. The Bible says all things are possible to them who believe. I was desperate to see more miracles happen, and so I thought if I just had more faith, maybe somebody would get healed. And I was working really, really hard to try to have more faith. But what ended up happening was is that I put my faith in faith itself instead of in the one that's faithful. What ended up working much, much better was to take care of, through the grace of God, the mindsets that were actually killing my faith. And then faith became the byproduct of what I believed. So, I was in Alaska earlier this year doing ministry. I'm convinced that the population of guns in Alaska is bigger than the population of people in Alaska. So for my illustration, let's imagine that I'm walking down the streets filled with the Holy Spirit. It's like having a great big spiritual gun. But instead of for wolves and bears, it's for sickness, disease, demons, that sort of thing. Now, I'm walking down the streets filled with the Holy Spirit. It's like having a great big spiritual gun. But if the mindsets that I have between my ears are, nobody gets healed when I pray. Nothing happened the last 50 times I tried. Pretty sure it won't happen this time. I really wish Bill Johnson or Reinhard Bonnke was praying for this person instead of me. Pretty sure I don't have the spiritual gift of healing. It's like I took all of the bullets out of my spiritual gun and I threw it away. Because God responds to what we believe. Amen? Healing can be as difficult as we believe. If you believe it's really, really difficult, then you have to have tons and tons of faith. And you have to be really, really spiritual, you're probably not going to see very many miracles happen. You'll probably feel disempowered to even pray for somebody in the first place. There really is no reason to ever go introspective before we pray. Healing happens as a result of God's grace, not by my works. If healing happened based off of my works, then the Pharisees would have had the most powerful healing ministries in the Bible. It's still about God's grace, and we're absolutely dependent on him to show up. Amen? Yeah. If I think I have to have tons and tons of faith, well, Jesus just said faith the amount of a mustard seed should be able to do the trick. So if I believe something, but Jesus says something differently, guess who's probably right between the two? Now, what would happen if I believed him? It would change my experience. I always have to start with what the Bible says, and my experience follows. I don't take my lack of experience with something to the Bible and then twist the Bible or skip over those passages in the Bible to fit my lack of experience. And that's not just related to healing. That's the whole thing, right? I can't pick and choose and say, oh, I'm going to avoid the verses about lying or stealing or cheating or loving my neighbor or forgiving people or whatever. Right? Kind of have to apply all of it. Amen? Now, Jesus made healing to be a lifestyle for every believer. If you look in the Bible in Luke chapter 9, 1 and 2, so that's Luke 9, 1 and 2. It says this, when Jesus had called the 12 together, he gave them power and authority to drive out all demons and to cure diseases, and he sent them out to preach the kingdom of God and to heal the sick. You want to know what biblical evangelism is? Go find sick people, get them healed, and tell them about who healed them. I've had people tell me before, Paul, don't you think that's really radical that, like, you're praying for somebody at Mall of America or wherever? And I'm like, no, I think it's pretty radical to try to do evangelism without using what Jesus empowered us to go and do. Amen? I mean, okay, I'm thankful for anybody who's doing evangelism in any way. I want people to come to know the Lord, obviously. But Jesus created healing to be a major tool that we use in this. Who here would like to see the anointing on your life go through the roof? I got a secret for you. Pray for people outside of church. Jesus came to seek and to save the lost. And you cannot mistake the link between healing and evangelism in the Bible. Healing is how they do evangelism. Luke 10. Jesus sends out his disciples again. Luke 10, verse 1, and then skip to verse 9. After this, the Lord appointed 72 others and sent them two by two ahead of him to every town and place where he was about to go. And then in verse 9 it says, heal the sick who are there and tell them the kingdom of God is near you. I'm guessing you guys are familiar with this passage. Most of you go to the house at any rate, so you've probably heard it before. It's worth repeating. Jesus intended healing to be a lifestyle. He doesn't just say, go and find sick people, invite them to church. That's great. Some of you may have done that tonight. But he tells people to do something even more than that. He says, make healing a lifestyle, where wherever you go, healing goes. Amen? And I think if we're honest with ourselves, even though it might scare us a bit, we want to see miracles happen wherever we go. We want to see people get out of wheelchairs at the airport. Amen? That happened at Phoenix Sky Harbor. That was fun. We want to see paralyzed people start moving around their leg. That happened at the shopping mall. Jesus wants to do this stuff. Amen? There's nothing that's difficult for him. It's all easy. And he wants to do it through you all. Amen? All right. Jesus sent out his disciples a third time. It's what we call the Great Commission. Are you familiar with the Great Commission? Like 10% of you are. Okay. Good. Most of you are. Very end of Matthew, the very end of Mark, the beginning of Acts. Now, for those of you that aren't familiar with it, it's where, like in Acts 1, verse 8, it says you receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you're going to be witnesses all over the earth. Or in Mark 16, these signs are going to follow them that believe. They're going to lay hands on the sick, and they're going to recover and cast out demons and so forth. Now, was the Great Commission just for 2,000 years ago, or is it also for today? Both, yeah, good answer. And today. Is it just for pastors, evangelists, and guest speakers, or is it for everyone? So if the Great Commission is for everyone and for today, then the context of it, talking about power and authority and healing, is also for everyone and for today. unless you don't believe it's for you. And then you threw away something that Jesus died to give you. And I don't know about you, but I don't want to throw away anything Jesus died to give me. Religion tries to make you work hard for what you already have. If you want to be healed, you better have read your Bible a lot, prayed and confessed all your sins, and fasted's even better. And I'm not saying that stuff isn't good to do. I mean, it's only through abiding in Christ we have relationship. But religion will say, okay, if that's what you need in order to be healed, in order to have a healing ministry, you better have done all of that, like, times 10. Only problem, Jesus is not the same as religion. Jesus healed every single person that came to him. It didn't matter if they were a good person or a bad person. It didn't matter if they had read their Bible that day or not. He healed them all. I don't ever want to reduce God's will to my experience if I'm not seeing 100% breakthrough, right? Which is probably everybody in the room. We don't change God's will because we're not seeing the full extent of it. I mean, if Jesus was standing in front of them, they would be healed. Right? He's not going to tell them, oh, I want you to keep the tumors for another 5 years because it's going to help you grow in character. And if you keep them for another 5 years, you're going to be as holy as Mother Teresa, so I don't want to stunt your spiritual growth. Right? He's not going to say, well, yeah, you know, whatever. You're blind. But, you know, I could heal you. It's really helping you learn a lot of good spiritual lessons. And it's going to cause you to become as smart as Albert Einstein. So I really would not want to hinder your spiritual growth. Jesus didn't do that. Amen? Jesus healed everyone. Didn't matter what was going on in their life. So religion tries to have you do a whole bunch of things in order to be healed. In order to have a healing ministry, you better have worked even harder. You better be really holy. A healing never validated that everything in my life was perfect or in your life. It's not an item of performance. In fact, making an item of performance will probably hinder the results that you want to see happen when you pray. God's not looking for me to create an identity for myself out of what he can do through me in order to try to feel valuable. I already am valuable. I don't need to work for what I already have. Amen? Does that make sense, what I just said there? Okay. So, in order to have a healing ministry, religion says you got to do a bunch of stuff. The reality is, again, Jesus is not the same as religion. Who does Jesus send out in Luke chapter 9 and in Luke chapter 10? These are not a bunch of spiritual all-stars. James and John, on their evangelism outing, when the village does not repent quick enough, they want fire to come from heaven to kill everybody in the village. Don't tell me Jesus waited till they were spiritually mature in order to send them out. Amen? Judas. Who is going to pick Judas as the pastor of evangelism for this church? Doubting Thomas. Who wants the guy whose nickname is Doubting in charge of the healing ministry? These people were not perfect. Now, I'm not trying to belittle them. We owe our modern-day church to them. But if we put them on a pedestal and say, they're way up there and I'm just little old me, then I've cut myself off from any impartation. And it's like that if I do that with anyone. We're all little old me's with a great big Jesus. So if we've been qualified through the Great Commission, then who am I to disqualify whom Jesus has qualified? Because that's what I always did. Someone would come to me, and they would need a healing in their body, and I would go introspective. And it never worked very well, let me tell you. And I would think to myself, well, I don't know if I read my Bible enough today. I don't know if anything is going to happen. Oh, I said something last night I really shouldn't have said. Pretty sure nothing's going to happen. I haven't prayed as long as I should have prayed. I don't think anything's going to happen. Oh, when was the last time I fasted? Oh, I don't know if anything's going to happen. Oh, have you seen the problem? That looks really, really severe. I don't think I have enough faith. And when you check how much faith you have, you start to watch it very rapidly disappear. And before I've even prayed for that person, I have already completely disqualified myself and talked myself out of them getting any kind of breakthrough. I'm now praying with absolutely no expectation and completely out of religious duty, to be nice. I'm sure I'm the only one in this room who's ever done this before. Now, if you come to me today and you say, Paul, please pray for me, you don't want me to think of reasons in my head why I am not perfect and why you will not get your breakthrough because I am not perfect. Right? In the same way, in just a little bit, you all will be praying for each other. And the person you are praying for does not want you to disqualify yourself. Amen? Do you know what works much, much better? What Jesus did. He had compassion. He took his eyes off of himself and he cared about the person that was in front of him. Over and over and over and over and over again in the Gospels, we see Jesus was filled with compassion and the sick were healed. Remember, healing never validated everything in our life being perfect. And you can't earn what Jesus wants to give for free through grace. Amen? So, there's no reason to disqualify yourself. Sometimes the biggest hindrance to having a healing ministry can be believing there's a hindrance. We make some problem difficult in our mind and we think, oh, I'm going to have to do a couple hours of shadow boxing intercession in order to try to deal with it. Well, I know I'm not the only person in this room who's ever done that before. And Jesus is telling me, Paul, if you just trusted me, it's all really difficult, not difficult, it's all really impossible for you. Very, very easy for me. I'm still very capable of taking care of the problem. Amen? So, real quick, one last point. Now, you know what it means when a preacher says one last point, right? All right, you guys understand very well. How we pray for the sick makes a big, big difference. You can turn to Luke chapter 4. Okay, Luke 4, 38 and 39. Now, how I grew up praying for people when I was not seeing very much breakthrough was a few different ways. In fact, I'd venture to say no breakthrough, all right? Let me demonstrate. God, I just asked that you would please heal this man. Or if I felt more passionate, God, please, please, please heal this man. And there's nothing wrong with passion. And there's nothing wrong with fervent intercession either. Or I would pray in my head, amen. Or I would try and make a good business deal with God and give him some good reasons why I think he ought to heal this person, as if I'm somehow more compassionate than he is. Well, God, you see this man. He's a good man. He's an elder in the church and a husband and father. And God, he even teaches Sunday school. He's got a home group at his house. God, if you're going to heal anyone, I really think you ought to pick him. Besides, God, if you heal him, I'll be very good all this week. I won't yell at my mom or kick the dog. Amen. Now, I don't even own a dog, okay? Some of you are concerned. Never saw much breakthrough when I was praying those ways for healing. And so I started looking in the Bible to see how do they actually minister to the sick. Like I said before, they're not counseling the sick person on how to grow in character by being sick. What do? Well, there's definitely outside the box things that happen. Naaman has leprosy. He goes for a swim in the river 7 times, comes out healed. So, unusual ways for miracles to happen. But the most common way is still through prayer. But we can see what those prayers say. Those prayers are actually recorded in the Bible. We can see what they say, and we can see what those prayers do not say. There is not one prayer for healing in the Bible that has the word ask in it. That's how I always prayed for the sick. God, I ask you to heal him. Yeah, nothing ever happened. I'm not saying you can't ask God for things. I'm just talking about when I look at the actual prayers recorded for healing in the Bible, none of them have the word ask in it. Nobody is begging and pleading with God and trying to talk him into doing it. Nobody is trying to make a business deal with God. Nobody is praying a prayer for healing in their head in the Bible. All of my ways that I always ministered to the sick did not exist in there as recorded prayers for healing. Maybe there was a reason why they weren't working very well for me. Probably not going to improve on the Bible, right? All right, so how do they pray for the sick in the Bible? Jesus is our God. He's also our example. Amen? He's our example in how he loved people. He's probably also our example in how he ministered to the sick. Luke 4, 38 and 39. Jesus left the synagogue and went to the home of Simon. Now Simon's mother-in-law was suffering from a high fever, and they asked Jesus to help her. So he bent over her and rebuked the fever, and it left her. She got up at once and began to wait on them. How does Jesus pray for the fever? Rebukes the fever. Okay, Luke 5, 12 and 13. While Jesus was in one of the towns, a man came along and was covered with leprosy. When he saw Jesus, he fell with his face to the ground and begged him, "Lord, if you are willing, you can make me clean." Jesus reached out his hand and touched the man. "I am willing," he said, "be clean." And immediately the leprosy left him. How does Jesus pray for the leprosy? Commands, right? Okay. Acts chapter 3, Peter and John with the crippled man. Acts chapter 3, verse 6, you see their prayer recorded. They tell the man, "Silver or gold we do not have, but in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk." Now, if commanding when praying for healing was just for Jesus, the apostles did not get the memo. Because they're praying the exact same way. They're using the authority that God has given to us. Amen? Acts chapter 14, verses 8 and 9, there's a man who's crippled there. I believe it's Paul, it might be Peter, prays for the guy. His prayer is recorded. His prayer is, "Stand up on your feet." That doesn't sound like the average American prayer for healing. And the man stood up on his feet. We'll expand this a little bit. Jesus is in the boat. There is a weather problem. There's a storm. The disciples come running over to him because he's sleeping. "Master, master, wake up. We're going to drown. Save us. Help us." What does Jesus do? He says, "Well, the storm here was sent here by your Father in heaven to help you in humility and dependence upon him, and it's achieving its desired effect, so we're just going to bless the storm." Is that what Jesus did? No. Sometimes we do things. I mean, all these examples I'm giving, like I've done all of them probably in my life. Sometimes we say things that are not the same thing as what Jesus did or said. Fair enough? So what does Jesus do? He rebukes the wind and the waves. He says, "Peace, be still." Peace, be still. Now, who is he saying peace, be still to? He's saying it to wind and waves. Even though wind and waves don't have ears. He's not commanding his Father in heaven. He's speaking to the problem. These people are not asking and begging and pleading. They're speaking to the mountain and commanding the mountain to be moved. Sometimes we're asking and begging for the mountain to be moved, and we're wondering, why is this mountain not going anywhere? And Jesus is saying, "Well, I told you to speak to it anytime you'd like." I had somebody ask me, "Paul, do you really think that makes a difference?" Oh, absolutely. Makes a huge difference. When I was asking, begging, and pleading, I've probably seen less than 5 healings that way. When I shifted to commanding, there's been thousands like every year. Now, I don't heal anybody. I can't do it. It's not about me. It's about him. I didn't go from being a horrible Christian to a perfect Christian when I switched that. But there is a biblical principle there. It really does make a difference. God really did give us authority. And he's waiting for us to exercise it. Amen? All right, cool. Well, I think that's enough of me sharing for now. Okay, now we're going to get into doing. I hope you guys like to do. All right, I want everybody to get one partner. Only one, no groups of three. I want you to grab your partner's hand, put your partner's hand in the air. Only one partner. Now, if I was Chris Valentin, I would say squeeze their hand if you want a date later. All right. There's some people squeezing right now. Okay, put your hands down. If you do not have a partner, wave at me. Okay, over here, you too. You could be partners. Who else needs a partner? Right here and right there. All right, very good. Who else needs a partner? Wave at me. Right here and who else? Somebody over here? Right there. You see? Okay, where did my first guy go? Oh, you got a partner now. You're good. Okay, so right here. Okay, so there's two of you back over there. The girl behind you, diagonal, she needs a partner. There you are. All right, anybody else? Am I missing people? Right here and who needs a partner also? Back there in the way back against the wall by the sound booth, the woman back there. Anybody else? We got everybody covered? Okay, cool. Go ahead, stand up. All right. Mom, I'll get my mom to come up here. Have her be my demonstration buddy. Okay, one tool you can use before we get into healing. Well, actually, probably not because you invite the Holy Spirit and he starts healing people. But one tool you can use to see people come to know the Lord wherever you go is to invite them to experience the presence of the Lord. You can just ask them, hey, do you want to feel God? Or do you want to feel something cool? How many of you realize God is cool? All right, very good. So, Mom, come up here. This is my mom. This is her home church. All right. Cool. So, you can ask, let's do it this way. You need to figure out real quick which of you is taller. The taller one goes first. I had to pick something that I could beat my mom at. Okay. So taller person, you're going to ask the not quite as tall person if you want to feel something cool. Not quite as tall person needs to be nice. They have to say yes. Then have them put their hands out like this and say, Holy Spirit, come. So I'll demonstrate for you before you guys do it. So do you want to feel something cool? Go ahead, put your hands like this. Just say, Holy Spirit, come. And Holy Spirit, we release your presence to touch my mom. In Jesus' name. Amen. All right, good. More. Bam. Thank you. That was just for fun. Okay, so now it's your turn. So taller person, you go first. Ask the shorter person if you want to feel something cool. Have them put out their hands and say, Holy Spirit, come. Okay, when taller person is done, shorter person needs to go. Now, you don't want your hands touching their hands. You want your hands above their hands. You want them to feel the Holy Spirit, not you. Okay? Ask them if they want to feel something cool. Have them put out their hands and say, Holy Spirit, come. Go for it. Okay, when both of you are done, you can sit down. Okay, some of you are getting the extended marination in. Go ahead, grab a seat. Okay, now, first of all, let me start by saying that if you did not feel anything, there is nothing horribly wrong with you, okay? But it's always amazing how many people encounter God in a variety of ways. So, let's find out what happened. Who felt heat when you did this? Raise your hand. Very good, a bunch. Who felt tingling when you did this? Raise your hand. Very good. Okay, now we didn't even pray for healing yet, but when I was in Alaska, there was a woman there who had a cane and a breathing machine. She just from the Holy Spirit encounter, took the breathing machine off, set the cane down, and she was walking just fine. Now, check your body. Where you had pain or where you had a problem. If your neck was hurting, check your neck. See if the pain's gone. If your back was hurting, check your back. If your knees were hurting, check your knees. Wherever you had issues, check your hearing. See if you can hear better. All right. If you have a difference in your body related to healing from doing the Holy Spirit encounter, raise your hand. All right. How many of you got? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12. Ah, fun. See, you just invite Holy Spirit. Can't help himself. Amen? Who's like completely better of something just from your Holy Spirit encounter? Put your hand up nice and high. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Ah, good. Thank you, Lord. Like one, your hand went up first. What happened for you? Really, really loud. Oh, it was you. Who had your hand up over here? All right, his knee's 100% better. Thank you, Jesus. So God is good. Amen? You invite Holy Spirit, he just can't help himself but start healing people. All right. Who felt a heavy, weighty presence when you did this? Raise your hand. Very good. Who got gold dust? It looks kind of like glitter or sparkles on your hand. Check your hands. Hold them up to the light. Who got gold dust? Ah, some back over there. Yeah, fun. Good. Now, somebody's asking me, Paul, where is gold dust in the Bible? Well, okay, there's two Hebrew words for glory in the Old Testament. There's Shekinah and there's Kavod. Kavod gets translated as heavy or weighty, and Shekinah gets translated as glittery or sparkly. So people are experiencing God's glory in a way that's heavy and weighty or glittery and sparkly on their hands. Thank you, Jesus. Now, check for gemstones. This is when the woman in Elk River got the gemstone. Did anybody get a gemstone? Yell. I'm pretty sure you probably would. You don't need me to tell you to yell. Anybody? Well, we successfully vacuumed up all the lint off the floor. Okay. All right. Well, no problem. Did anybody feel wind when you did this? All right. Very good. What else? Who felt a little drunk in the Holy Spirit? A little bit of laughter and joy bubbling out. Yeah, very good. That's my favorite. Cool. Well, gemstones are probably my favorite, actually, but that's my second favorite. Let's see. Who had something that I did not ask about? What happened? Really loud. All right, cool. Thank you, Jesus. So anyway, God encounters people in a variety of different ways. When you look at the Bible, it's full of outside-the-box encounters. Like Mary, for example. She encountered the Holy Spirit, and she ended up pregnant. Now, I don't think any of you will end up pregnant as a result of your Holy Spirit encounter here today. It might be difficult to explain, just like it was for Mary. But I am saying that there are unusual encounters with the Holy Spirit in the Bible. Fair enough? All right, cool. Now, we're going to get into healing time now. So if you have the problem, whether it's like horrible and you're supposed to be dead by Tuesday, or whether it's like really, really minor, either way, please take prayer for it, all right? Sometimes people think, well, my knees hurt, but it's only when I jog. It's not that bad. The guy over there is up for knee surgery this week. I'll let him get prayer. And he gets healed, and his surgery gets canceled. And every single time you go for a jog, your knees are still hurting. And you're kicking yourself later. Why did I not take prayer? So, there are a bunch of people in this room that would like to see miracles happen when they pray. And for that, they're going to need some practice. So you're not doing anyone any favors by refusing to take prayer. So if you have the problem, whether it's horrible or minor, please take prayer. All right? Cool. So let's start with knees then. If you get any kind of issue with your knees, you have pain in your knees, you have arthritis in your knees, you have metal in your knees, easy for Jesus to take care of the metal. You're missing a kneecap, you have bone on bone, you have, I don't know, anything with your knees, they crack, snap, and pop. Go ahead and stand up, just where you're at, don't come to me. All right. Okay, wow, this is like the healthy knee section right here, huh? Okay, now, if you are standing, I need you to put your hand in the air. Okay, now if you are sitting, I need your help. You are now the prayer team. I'm going to walk you through this step by step, so don't worry if this is all like brand new, okay? But the first thing I need you to do is I need you to stand up. I need you to go to somebody whose hand is in the air. And go to somebody that you did not drive to church here with today. I don't want you to pray for the person's knees that you've been praying for the last 20 years. Go for fresh blood. I've heard Bill say that. Oh, okay. So either way. Okay. Now, all right. If you have someone, don't pray for them yet. Just hang in there. I know some of you are like sharks. You're like ready to go right now. Okay. If you have someone to pray for you, put your hand down. If you don't have anyone to pray for you, wave at me. Someone over there? Could someone, if you have like two or three of you praying for one person, send one over there at least. Cool. Anybody else? Good. Okay. Now, first thing I want you to do, I want you to talk to the person and find out what the problem is. Now, we do not need a full medical history. 5 to 10 second long answer is plenty. All right? Go ahead. Talk to the person. Okay, that should be more than enough information. All right? Cool. Now, when you hear the problem, some of you may have been tempted to think as they're telling you their problem, Paul, come over here. No. You do not need Paul. You need the Holy Spirit. Amen? And the Holy Spirit lives inside of you. And he wants out. He wants to touch the person. So if I, sometimes when I sometimes say this anyway, whether I feel intimidated or not, half of healing ministry is not being intimidated by the problem. It's all very impossible for me and very easy for Jesus. Amen? All right. So I tell the person, oh, this is really, really easy for Jesus. So tell the person, this is really, really easy for Jesus. Isn't having faith just believing it's easy for Jesus? All right. Now, this isn't the only way the anointing flows, but it is a way the anointing flows, is through the laying on of hands. So what I want you to do is to put your hand where they need healing, unless you shouldn't put your hand there. But we're talking about knees, so we should be safe. If it's two knees that have the problem, God gave you two hands. So put two hands on the two knees, or one hand on the one knee that needs the healing. All right. Now, okay, still, do not pray for the person yet. Instead of instinctively going introspective, what I want you to do is take like 10 seconds and have compassion on this person. I want you to imagine that you are the one that had the pain or the problem. So don't pray, just have compassion on the person. All right, now we're going to pray in just a moment, but if you can already tell the pain is leaving your body as they had compassion on you, wave at me. Yeah, see, there's a bunch of hands going up. Probably like 10, 15 hands already going up. All right. Gifts of the Holy Spirit work best through love. That's why 1 Corinthians 12 to 14 have 1 Corinthians 13 sandwiched in the middle. Amen? All right, now we're actually going to pray for the person. Don't worry if you are like, but I didn't raise my hands and my knees are still hurting. Don't worry. All right. That's why we pray, because God gave us authority. Okay, here's what I want you to do when you pray. I want everybody to pray out once out loud in your group. Don't sit there and like all take your nice and neat turns in a row. Just everybody go for it, okay? And what I want you to do when you pray is to do two things out loud. I want you to invite the Holy Spirit to come. You guys should be good at that. You're all pros from the last round, right? And number two, I want you to command the pain or the problem to get out in Jesus' name, all right? So if it helps you, imagine it like this. Imagine that you're walking down the street and you're a mother or father with very small children. Okay, all of a sudden you see a great big dog come running towards your children and is barking and growling at your children. Now, what are you going to do? Are you going to say, oh, big dog, go away? Are you going to do that? I hope not. You're going to say, big dog, get out, right? I want you to imagine the pain in their knee is a big dog, I'm not saying it's a demon. I don't know what's causing it, quite frankly. But I want you to approach it like it's a big dog and God gave you authority over it. So I want you to drive it out. Now, you don't have to yell at the problem, but what I am saying is I want you firmly engaged. All right? So, everybody at once, invite Holy Spirit, drive out the problem in Jesus' name. Go for it, out loud. Thank you, Jesus. Okay, that should be plenty. You don't need 3 hours of soaking prayer to see a miracle happen. Unless you believe you do, and then what are you going to have to do because of what you believe? All right, test your knees out. Check and see, is the pain gone? Is it better? Is it still cracking, snapping, and popping, and clicking in there? Is there a difference? Okay. Hello. Can you hear me out there? All right. If you had a difference in your knees, whether it is 1% better or whether it is 100% better, I want you to wave at me very high like this. Oh, it's nice to see you all waving out there. Thank you, Jesus. Come on, can we praise Jesus for that? Thank you, Lord God. We give you the glory. All right. Now, if it is at least 70% better, okay, your knees are... That was everybody who was just any amount improved. If it's at least 70% better, so 70% all the way to completely healed, go ahead and wave your hand up here nice and high. Keep your hand up nice and high. Don't do this. Do this. All right, good. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15, 16, 17, 18, 19, 20, 21, 22, 23, 24, 25, 26, 27, 28, 29, 30, 31, 32. Somewhere between 30 and 35. Can we praise Jesus for that? Come on, Jesus. Thank you, Lord God. I picked that number because it worked for Randy Clark, and I figure if it works for him, he's been doing this longer than I have, it works for me. He figures if they're 70% better in the meeting, they'll be at least 100% by the next little bit. So, come on, Jesus. Now, who had the problem or the pain for at least 5 to 10 years or longer, and it just got healed? Keep your hand up nice and high. Wow, 1, 2, 3, 4. Dude, that's like over half of them. All right, who had at least 10 years? Keep your hand up. Okay, who had at least 15 years? Keep it up. Wow, 1, 2, 3, 4, still like 7 of them. All right, who had at least 20 years? Keep your hand up. All right, 1, 2, 3, still got 6 or 7 of them. Okay, who had at least 30 years? I'm only 34, okay? So 1, 2, 3 of them had it for at least 30 years. Okay, where'd Christian go? Can I get you to get testimony? Is that all right? So, for the sake of time, like 30 seconds for the three of you, that raised your hand that you had the problem at least 30 years. What happened? What was wrong? And what did Jesus just do?
I was born with a joint disease. So I've had 47 knee surgeries.
47?
Yes.
Wow. That's impressive. Okay.
And I'm pain free.
Come on, Jesus.
Nice.
So what was wrong with the knee? Like the joint disease, how did that manifest?
I was born with it, did not know at first what was going on. My first surgery was when I was in 9th grade, and I had one every year up until last year.
Wow. Come on, Jesus. All right, so what else happened? Yeah, we could praise Jesus for that. That's pretty cool. There's another one over here. What did Jesus do?
Well, actually, I've had knee surgeries since I've been 15, just because of football, and actually, I've had pain every day, and right now I do not have pain.
Wow! So how many years was that?
15. No. 35.
Amazing. 45.
45. Yes.
Wow.
45. Yeah.
Come on, Jesus. All right, and then we had over here. So what did Jesus do?
Okay, I'm going to get it over with right away. It's over 40. So when I was delivering one of my babies, and they had given me a shot in the sciatic. And that follows down across around my knee and makes things numb there at times.
Okay.
So, and I'm feeling coolness there and a looseness that just feels really great.
Come on, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Okay. Go ahead, grab a seat. Don't worry. We're going to keep going after healing. I need to say something to you really, really quickly. Okay. Isn't Jesus amazing? It's pretty obvious God is real, right? Like, I don't and you don't have that kind of power to do that. That's called Jesus. Amen? Jesus was a real guy who really lived, who really died on a cross, and really was raised from the dead. And someone can look at me and say, well, that's impossible. And guess what? It is impossible. And guess what? 47 surgeries and no longer having an issue with your joints, that's impossible too, right? But Jesus does the impossible. He's the God of the impossible, and he does it because he loves you and he wants a relationship with you. And so it's really simple. All of us have done things wrong before. We can choose to turn away from those things and choose to follow the Lord and make him our God. I wanted to give people an opportunity to do that here today real quick. So go ahead, everybody, just close your eyes and bow your heads. Maybe there's somebody here today and you'd say, Paul, I don't know where I would go if I died today. And you want to start a relationship with God through Jesus. You know, he is the only way. John 14:6 says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. That's what Jesus said. So if you're here today and you're like, yes, Paul, I want to give my life over to Jesus. I want to turn away from what I've done wrong and choose to follow him. You can let me know by raising your hand right where you're at. Is there anybody here today? Okay, I see some hands. Don't do the down by the armpit hand, okay? Hand nice and high. Very good. Okay, good. I see hands. All right, put your hands down. Now, not just those that raise their hands, but I want everybody just go ahead and repeat after me. So say, Jesus, please forgive me of all my sin, of everything I've done wrong. I choose to follow you and make you my Lord and God. Give me strength and empowerment to follow you. And in the name of Jesus Christ, I renounce the devil and all his works. And I break them off in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. Now, I encourage those of you, there was hands that went up there, definitely. Those of you that your hand went up, I just encourage you to, if you don't have a Bible, get a Bible and start reading the Bible. I mean, you can even go on the internet and go on, like, Bible Gateway or anything, and you can get a Bible that way, and you can read it that way. Or on your phone, you can get an app or whatever. Whatever works for you. Or if there's one sitting dusty up on the bookshelf, pull that off. And just start reading. Like, Book of Mark is a great place to begin, where it talks about the life and the work of Jesus Christ and what he did. And you can pray. You could talk to God anytime, no matter what is going on in your life. It's a relationship. If you're struggling, if you're doing great, either way, God wants to share that with you. I encourage you to get a church. If you don't have one already, this is a great one. Get in a church that will help you grow in your walk with the Lord. Amen?